Blog Talk Radio.
Vamos. You got me? Got it. You can hear me.
Behold your God. Let the Lord arise, arise, and his enemies be scattered. The Lord will speak peace, peace to his people.
Kingdom Church of the Firstborn. This is Pernell Ewing coming to you from Whitewater, Wisconsin, and welcoming you to the Universal Kingdom Church of the Firstborn, Digging Deeper. We're excited about what the Lord is doing. We're excited about what he's going to do tonight. We're in for a special treat tonight. We are also excited because the Lord is speaking to his church clear. He's speaking loud, and he wants us to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church and for the church. And he also wants us to listen very carefully that we can hear what he's saying to us to do with what he's saying to the church. We're so grateful for Dr. Derek David Kuhn as he brings to open up the airwaves for us with his wonderful voice singing, Behold Your God, let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. Wherever you are tonight, may God arise, may his enemies be scattered. We are getting ready to celebrate our Savior's birthday. I know that you're getting ready, but we're still here. Talking about here what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church and for the church. We're going to open up with a song by Prophetess Dean Mitchum from Christian International. We're going to let him sing a little tonight again on A New Church Arising. Let's listen to Dean as he sings A New Church Arising.
Hallelujah. Come on, God is raising up a new church. Are you a part of that church? The saints who live.
Tonight. We've been having him sing that song since 2014, January 1, until this time, he's opening the airways for that new church that's coming. He's been singing it for us at the Church of the Firstborn, our local Church of the Firstborn, for about 7-8 years every Saturday night. So we believe as he puts that in the airways, that the Holy Spirit is building that new church. As he says, he's building it in you, he's building it in me. But we're getting ready for a new beginning. We're celebrating our Savior's birthday. Some people might wonder and say that he wasn't born on December 25, but we know that he was born. He was born to die, and he died, and he rose again. And for that reason, we are where we are tonight. We can call him Savior. We can call him Lord. We can call him King. And so we're so grateful that we've been given the opportunity to acknowledge his birth, and we're going to be doing that within a few days. But as we do that, let us come in agreement with what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church, Spirit of the Lord is saying for the church. And tonight, I have a very special guest with me, and I'm going to allow him to give us the word of the Lord for the year. Now, you know, I've said this over and over again. Every year, the Lord starts giving me the word of the Lord for the year right around October, November. I was real concerned this year because I hadn't gotten the word. And, of course, I mentioned this before, that our prophet Susan Fletcher will be coming in from Christian International. She'll give us a word for the Church of the Firstborn, and also a personal word for those who want to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, not only to the church, but to you. But there's a word in the air. It's in the atmosphere of the church that God is giving to his body. And, of course, you know, what happens with the word of the Lord, when you get the word of the Lord, it's not just for one night. It's not just for one year. It's the Lord opening the way for that word to take life in the spiritual atmosphere. And when that happens, then, we need to come in agreement with the word. We need to work the word in the spirit, by the spirit, and through the spirit. We need to see the word in action. We need to see it in our lives. We need to see it in ways that we have been given that word for a divine purpose and for an eternal purpose. And so for that reason, you will probably hear many words coming forth. We always wait for our Bishop Hammond to bring the word of the Lord for the year, and we know that he's been laboring over getting ready for it. And we know that it's a good word coming from prophets all around the country. But I want to say, when you hear the word of the Lord, don't say that word is not for you. Don't say, I've heard, I'm waiting for that one word. God has a word for his church, and he sends many prophets along the way to give that word. So tonight, I'm bringing you one of my sons. I love sons. They're great to me. They always remember me at special times, and I always remember them all the time in my prayer. But I've got a special son from the Chicago area who's a prophet, who's in a worshiper. He has so many hats until he has to come around his mother to let him know that he's still a son. And so tonight I call him son. I call him my prophetic son. So I'll probably get a word from someone out there say, I thought I was the only prophetic son. Even my own son will pull rank sometime and say, remember you, I'm the one you birthed. Well, tonight I got one that is great in the spirit, and I want to present him to you as he share with you what the Lord is saying to him, to the hear, for everyone to hear, what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church and for the church. And then listen very carefully what you might want to hear what the Spirit is saying to you. So I present to you my son, David Taylor, from the Chicagoland area, and he's going to bring you word of the Lord for tonight. We welcome you, son. I'm trying to hear. Are you on the air with me? I hope you're on the air. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? All right, you're on the air. You know, I'll tell you something. You have such a word tonight. I very seldom open the mic for anyone to ask questions. But if we stay on long enough and that word gets across, we might open the mic and let you respond to his word. So, but we're not sure of that. You know, very seldom I open the mic. But David, why don't you share with us what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to you? And I'm sure my listeners will probably be glad for you to share, because my voice is very scratchy tonight. They're used to hearing it clearer than this, but I can't help it. But I'm so glad you're here. Why don't you share with us what the Lord is saying to you? Why don't you introduce yourself better than I did, David? I did a good job of saying you're the prophet and you're my son. That's my heart, okay? Now you want to tell them what you do outside of being my son and being a prophet.
Well, by profession, I am a songwriter and a producer. I've done commercial work. I've done a lot of work in Chicago, working with artists, by calling him a prophet of fulfillment, called by God into the prophet of and also a right to fulfill God's truth.
Well, with all that being said, now I'm hoping that my listeners are hearing you, and I believe that they are hearing you, and if they are not hearing you, I'm hearing you. So why don't you share with us what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to you for the church and to the church in these end times?
Close out 2015 and the move into 2016, the Lord gave me a very, very strong word. First and foremost, the Lord has been waking his intercessors up at 2 or 3 a.m. for the past year to pray for the peace of America, and it has been a new level of fervency and urgency in those prayers. We've been pulling after Jesus, pulling after his feet, pulling on the hem of his garment, trying to draw a virgin out of them. So the Lord is calling us to at this time is to begin to recognize that Jesus put a gift and a revelation in every kindred, tongue, and people, and nation, that every ethnic group, every language that is placed on the earth has a special gift and revelation from God. And he's calling us at this time to come together as a body as never before, under the banner of his name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, not denominationalism, not our ethnic group, not any of the demographics we're used to identifying ourselves by, but rather to recognize that in every ethnic group there is a gift, and every group occupies a different spot on Jesus' body. And the Lord wants us to come together and begin to feed each other, begin to let the gift be put inside of us, edify the body of Christ. Because God is calling us in this hour to lead the nation back to him, to lead the nation out of idolatry. We, unfortunately, as nations, have followed some false gods, and the Lord wants his body to come together to lead the nation back in worship of them and back in loving God, fearing God,
you know, David, when you say that, our heart leaps inside, because I think almost everyone who has a hunger to hear and to move with God has that desire to love God and to know God and to really be in his perfect will. I'm so grateful for your coming to bring that word, because so often we are so committed to our own calling, I'd say, or to our own thing that's happening in our lives. And because at this time, and we are at a very critical time in the march of the church towards glory, so many things are happening in our lives that will divert us from which way God is going and will distract us. I want to stay with that word, because it is a word, I think it's a fresh word from heaven. It's a word that we probably know or think of in principle, but really to make it our word, this is brand new for us to look upon the body of Christ and look in the body of Christ to see what is the gifting that what one might have been recognized as someone who is contrary to the way that I walk. We all might be Christians, we all may be churchgoers, but sometimes we get caught in denominations, and because of this denomination isn't going the way I'm going, and then sometimes we get caught in ethnic groups. And sometimes we get caught in racial groups or culture, you know. And so what you're bringing us tonight, you're telling us that God is coming into the earth to bring it all together. And that's a wonderful word. It's a great word. It's a good word. It's God's word. But how do we get past ourselves? How do we get past our teaching and our training and
how do we get past experiences we've had with people from different cultures and different backgrounds that might have left something unpleasant in our hearts? And it's all right, I will get over it, but I just don't want to have anything to do in close relations with these people. So I'm going to believe that the Lord has given you a word that will help us over those hurdles. Those are hurdles that we don't talk about. They're hurdles that we may talk about in our close friends, and we complain about what the other one is doing and what they're not doing and how they're doing it wrong. But you bring up a way to tell us where to come together. You have a way to tell us what to do with that?
First answer to that question is, we have to go back to basics. The Lord said that we are to love Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Then to love ourselves, and then love for our neighbor, love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Christianity does not work unless you love the Lord. It's not about serving the Lord per se. It's not about seeking God's hand. It's not about seeking His blessings. It's about...
Well, I think you just hit it right there, David, because of the fact that we have to put out a heart, a hand to God to say, draw us in closer so that we can see your face, so that we can come in and be in a close relationship with you. I want that. We all want that. But I think my heart's got to change, don't you?
I do. And the second part comes in with Acts chapter 10. So Peter was on the roof, and the Lord gave him the vision of a large sheet with all types of profane things and things that were unclean and unacceptable to Peter's feet. And the Lord told Peter to lie for me. And Peter rebuked the Lord and said, "Not so, sir, for I have kept the law my whole life, and nothing unclean has ever been in my mouth." And the Lord made a turning point statement, which I had planned.
Yes, come on.
Don't you call it common.
Mm-hmm.
That happened three times. So what the Lord challenged Peter to do in a moment of time was to turn his back on a lifetime of religious training,
mm-hmm.
a lifetime of thinking that had divided him, because he said, those that were yesterday to come to teach, those that eat bacon and eat ham and work on Saturday and don't honor the Sabbath and all the things that praise, whereas yesterday they may have been counted as aliens and strangers, today they have the Holy Ghost just like you do,
mm-hmm.
for the same reason that you do,
mm-hmm.
and they believe on Jesus. And I have
mm-hmm. That's good.
God is calling us, especially in the nation of America, as to come back to His original purpose for creating America. And whatever purposes have been accomplished in these borders.
For all nations.
For all, no matter what point, no matter what their point of origin on earth, they can come here and learn of Him.
Mm-hmm.
Learn of Him. And God is calling us in this world to turn our back in many cases on a lifetime of religious training,
mm-hmm.
a lifetime of cultural conditioning, and to realize that if He has been any ethnic group, any kindred, any what we call race, if they are acceptable in His sight through the blood of Christ, that they are our brothers and sisters, and we no longer have any right or any time to draw any racial lines and turn up our nose at them, and if we're accepted before God, then we must learn how to accept.
You know, we have to start at the church, though, Prophet. I think personally that we're going to be the ones to open a way for the King to come. And I think we are that church today. That's a new church that's arising, that Prophet Dean sang about. But we need to begin almost immediately, not just to look at what the Lord is saying to the nations, but what about what is He saying to us in the church where we come together on a regular basis? What about that part, that where we can start getting our eyes turned toward the Lord for His purpose, not just His purpose for what we need or for even for the church we're in, but for the purpose of Jesus Christ dying and going to the cross and being buried and rising again. I mean, I think we lose sight of what Christianity is all about. Don't you, Prophet?
I do. It's not about being seen. It's not about being famous. You're doing whatever God has called you to do. Whatever function you serve in the body, whatever position God has given you, it's about doing that in the power of the Holy Spirit. And individually, I believe what God is calling us to is to see the bigger picture for your gifting. Whatever we've been doing with our gifting just this fall, I haven't seen it for years. There's a much bigger picture coming into play because, as the body of Christ, we have come to a point in American history where it's time for us to lead the nation out of idolatry. All the things that we have worshipped on a nationally cultural level that have turned us away from the Word of God, from the Bible, the written Word of God, from Jesus Christ, the living Word of God. We have turned away as a nation in so many areas. And God is calling His people of all kindred, tongues, and ethnicities at this time to see the bigger picture that we now
years of idolatry and lead everyone back to the worship of the one true and living God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, I think we've got a work to do there, but I believe when God gives a word like this, a prophet, that He's already got it all worked in us, all that now it's just a matter of waking up that sleeping giant. The Holy Ghost is within us that we all receive when we were born again. You know, the Spirit of the Lord came in and took up residence in us. And so all of a sudden now He's calling us to let that the power of that Holy Ghost and the purpose of that Holy Ghost come alive in us. And I'm so grateful to hear you bring it in such a way that you expand it to the nation. I know it was for the nation, but my heart is also for the local church. My heart is also for the general church. My heart is open for the individuals that come into the church and fulfill them God's call to never forsake assembling yourself together. I believe if that's the word of the Lord for the nations, it has to be the word of the Lord for the church. Because the church, God is working through His church. He's head of the church, you know. And so I think, Prophet, it's also a call to those people that have decided that the church isn't fulfilling what they want, or for some reason they can't find the right church to settle in. I think it's a call then for them to come back to the Lord and find out where they can settle in so that they can fulfill this mission of bringing the nations in.
Well, one of the biggest missing pieces today, I'm sad to say, is found when we look at Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, and that is that we will never get all that God has for us in this life or become all that we're supposed to become unless we are exposed to all five of the five offices of the fivefold ministry. We must sit under the ministry of an apostle, a prophet, evangelist, a pastor, and a teacher over the course of our Christian walk to get the fullness so that we can get a clear picture of God, so we can hear every word of God that we need for our personal growth. And so it's time, you mentioned the local church, it's time for churches that may have never had apostolic or prophetic ministry enter in. It's time for those churches to allow that level of ministry to come in so we can get a bigger picture, a foundational word from God. People need the prophetic realm like never before because they need an on-the-spot rainbow word from God because where should I go to college and who should I marry and what is my purpose? It's not in the Bible.
Come on.
We get our foundation from the scriptures, from the written word of God. But in terms of directing our lives, you need a fresh God-breathed word from the Lord in your personal relationship from Him. And that's the whole point of the prophetic realm. 1 Corinthians 14:3 tells us, that a prophecy is for exhortation, edification, and comfort, so we can know what God has called us to do, so we can know that, and like Romans 12, too, that we're proving his good, acceptable, perfect will of God. But you, as a Christian, specifics, what house to buy, what college to go to, how much to put in your offering. We know the tithe is 10%, but is God calling us to 12%, 15% in terms of offering, you know, 3% over? When is it time to make a sacrificial gift? Because, you know, we the special times that God is calling us to sacrifice. And to be able to locate yourself in the spirit, you need prophets. And you need the prophetic realm. And sometimes, particularly as we flow in a word of knowledge, which is a divine revelation about information that we couldn't know any other way but by the Holy Ghost. Word of wisdom, which is revelation on how to do things, because people want to know, how do I know who the right person is to marry? People want to know if I'm having problems in my marriage, where is God with that? What should I do? People want to know there's a general message of prosperity, financial harvest, and a lot of people hear the message of it's harvest season. But what they want to know is how. How is God going to give me this extra money? How is God going to help me to reap what I have sown? And that answer comes to a personal relationship with God, because every answer is different. The Lord might tell you to move to a new city. The Lord might tell you to quit your job and start a business. The Lord might tell you to sow a sacrificial seed. The Lord might tell you that you need to get better at what you do. And that's how your income is going to increase.
But you know, Pastor, I think that's why it's so key that we all need the local church, and we need a leader, someone that God has given the anointing to speak into your life. Because sometimes you can hear so many voices from out there, and sometimes if you're not connected in the right way, you hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to you. But you need a confirmation sometime through someone else that God has put in your life to speak into your life. You know, almost every time I'm on this program, I'll mention I wrote a book, you know. And it used to be a time people would laugh and say, oh, here she goes, she wrote a book. But the Lord told me to stop laughing, because those books would bring the church in. One book that I wrote, very few people have read, and it's called The Spiritual Anointing of Spiritual Mentoring, Spiritual Fathering, Spiritual Mothering, Apostolic Mothering, Fathering, and Apostolic Covering. And the Lord gave me each one really had a different function, and most people didn't know the need that they have, whether they had a need for apostolic covering or apostolic mothering or fathering, and sometimes you might do all three, you know, in one time. But what happened was, if that person has been assigned by God, they have a responsibility to God for your soul and for your direction. And if you have made a covenant with God and he directs you to that one person that is can speak into your life, then it's not just coming from that person, it's coming from God. It's difficult to get there, prophets, you know, to really get to the place where you can trust someone on that level. But God calls the church into that level of walk and relationship so that he can assign that one to confirm, say, the Lord has already spoken to you his prophetic word about moving to another city, okay? So you take that word and you move out, but maybe you need someone in your life to come alongside you so that the Lord may give that person other parts of the prophetic word that will cause you not to maybe move too fast or soon. I don't think I need to explain that to teach that tonight, but there's such a broadness to this prophetic ministry that the church, when you mention the fivefold ministries, must be intact, and the person must have been under that kind of anointing. And each church should some kind of way have the prophetic ministry active, the apostolic ministry active, because apostolic is not just starting a church. Apostolic is establishing what God sends one to establish, and sometimes it's just a person. You know, you got a person establishing the Lord. That's apostolic, you know? And then if you want a person to cover your ministry, sometimes that person might need to be an apostolic father or mother to establish you. And then, well, how did we get off on this? I took us off this you were bringing us word. But I'm always grateful to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church and for the church. And I think the reason I got off on that is your word is so much for the church, but it's for the nation. You know, you're talking nations now.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking, but who's going to bring the nations in and back to the Lord unless it's the church? Your government won't do it. Politics won't do it. And good manners won't do it. So you're talking, every word you speak as a prophet of God has to be speaking to the church, for the church, and into the church. And if you're speaking for the church and into the church, we want it to go into the hearts of the people that this is a call of the church. It's not a call of to be the prophet of the corner telling people what to do, but it's a call of one who is established in the church, or established by God as a prophet, to do something that will always honor his church, you know?
Absolutely. And one of the questions that I know people have is, how do you judge prophecy? How do you know if it's accurate?
Mm-hmm.
How do you know if someone's a false prophet? And the answer to that question is, you need the same witness that Jesus needed when he was identified.
Mm-hmm.
The first witness you need is a witness from heaven.
Yes.
And that means the Lord needs to have already spoken to you
yes.
about a person or the prophecy or whatever is going on. The Father will have already spoken to you from heaven. He'll have given you a foundational scripture. He'll have given you a song. But one way or another, the Lord will have spoken to you, and that'll be your first witness. Your second witness is, as the Spirit of God lit on Jesus and stayed,
mm-hmm.
the Holy Ghost will anoint the
mm-hmm.
word of God
mm-hmm.
and you hear it. He will anoint the prophecy. He will set your heart on fire from the inside
mm-hmm.
to bear witness with your spirit
mm-hmm.
that just like the Holy Ghost was bearing witness that this was indeed the living word of God, of Jesus Christ, he will be witness that the word you're hearing is the word of God for your soul, for your life. And then the third witness you need is the witness of man. John the Baptist pointed out and said, behold,
yes.
the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world,
mm-hmm.
and God will send people in your life to witness when you're moving in the right direction. He will put confirmation in their mouth. Doors will open for you. People will again confirm that you're doing what you're supposed to do or that you are being where you're supposed to be. And that's also how you know when you're going the wrong way.
You know, Prophet, what I'm hearing from you, and I think it's something that you need to mention also, you know the word. You've been in your Bible, and you, whenever you say something, you reach back and pull a scripture up.
Yeah.
Well, if a person is speaking into your life, or let's say that you are the one that you've, I meet many people who often say to me that they call to be a prophet, you know, or they know that their ministry is a prophet, and I don't doubt that because I don't know at all. But what do they know about the word of God? Are they in the word of God? Is this just a word that comes to them by the Spirit rather than by the word of God?
Well, one of the best examples I like to point people to is found in Matthew 4. And obviously that's not the only place you find Jesus' temptation in the wilderness. But during the second temptation, the devil quotes a scripture to the Lord and tells the Lord he ought to jump off a mountain and God will catch him. And then the devil quotes Psalm saying that he's given an angel charge over you to keep thee in all thy ways and they'll bear thee up in their hands as you dash your foot against a stone. And then the Lord responds with another scripture and says, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So what's the difference between what the devil did and what Jesus did? The difference is that Jesus knew not just the Bible, but the God of the Bible.
Come on, you
Jesus
just
knew
yes.
the rightly divided
mm-hmm.
word of
mm-hmm.
truth.
Yes.
He knew what God meant by what he said. And
now,
Jesus
you know, I think that's what a prophet has to have.
That's right.
They have to know the God of the word, not just a call from God to be a prophet,
mm-hmm.
or someone anoint them and say, you're a prophet.
Mm-hmm.
Even if that happens, because I know it does happen, are you willing to pay the price of getting into God's word
right.
and staying in God's word and begin to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying from his word as you grow into your prophetic calling?
Well, Timothy tells us, remember, to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If the word has to tell you to rightly divide the word, that means it's possible to wrongly divide it.
Yes, it
and
is.
That's what the devil was doing, because the Lord was saying, just because God has promised you angelic protection does not mean you should do reckless things like throw yourself off a mountain. And that should prove to the saints once and for all that the devil will even use scripture but twist it. He will even, he's not above or beneath, however you want to look at it, using scripture to get us out of the will of God. And the only way you're going to be able to defeat him is if you know the God of the Bible, if you know the scriptures, and they have been rightly divided. You understand what God meant by what he said. You're not just quoting what he said, and you know how to apply it to the situation. And that type of understanding of scripture only comes from study and time with God, from you studying the scriptures and then invoking the Holy Spirit, asking him to explain it to you and to lead you to fivefold ministry leaders that can rightly divide the word for you. You have to develop that personal relationship.
It sounds like you've been in my school, because that's what I teach. And so if anyone who really wants to get into the word and do that, we still have a seminary available. So let me ask Prophet, while you're here, we're so grateful to have you, and we're so grateful that you've given me all of your precious time today, and we've had some great discussions. I want to go back to something else. I think it's the prophetic word you've given us is very clear. But let's talk a little bit about the worship, because you're a great worshiper. You're a songwriter. It's one of the greatest ministries in the church. It's part of our trifecta, where we did, you mentioned something today about the weapons of worship and some of the things that the church needs to know about worship in these last days. So let's, if you finish with the prophetic word, if you think that you've given up what God gave you for the church, let's talk a little bit about worship in the church. It's a subject that I think most people avoid talking about it because it's not something that's natural. It's all spiritual. And we've gone so far away from sometimes really bringing the kind of worship that opens the atmosphere for Jesus to come in and do his work. So tell us what the Lord is saying to you about worship.
Well, first of all, where we got off track in this nation was sometime in the 90s, and it's what I call the smorgasbord, have it your way, or dollar value menu mentality. What happened was we got trained in the secular world to start having our meals and our cable TV shows and whatever kind of content we wanted to consume at our convenience, having everything our way at the touch of a button. That mentality began to creep over to the church, where people started to believe that they could have worship however way they liked it. And if the worship didn't go the way they wanted it, then they would just leave the church, or they would go start another church, or they would complain to the leadership that, you know, everybody's moving away from choirs, and now we want worship teams, and we don't want to sing hymns, and we want to sing top 40. And people, a lot of people really started to believe that we could begin to order worship according to our desires. And when that happened, that is when worship music began to degenerate into just entertainment. And a lot of the power and the connecting power of God to bring his presence in the room began to be lost, because we thought we could order worship according to what we felt.
I think maybe another thing that Prophet, you mentioned earlier today is the disconnection between worship and the word of the Lord from the pulpit. Maybe that means a disconnect between the worship leader, the choir director, whichever one the church has, and the pastor, or the one who's bringing the word. Everything from the moment you walk into the assembly should flow in the Spirit.
That's
God.
Right.
It, I think even when it comes to communion, you know, we still sometimes ritualistically once a month or what have you. But even that should be in the order of the Spirit. Wouldn't it be wonderful if the church we're talking about, the church that Dean Mitchum sang about, would have this type of flow
Well, what we have lost is what Jesus said about following the will of God. He said, if any man would come after me, let him first deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. What God has been trying to teach us from the scriptures, which is also supported in Romans 12:2, about offering our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. What we have lost in this last generation is the fact that we serve God. He doesn't serve us. We follow God. He doesn't follow us. And so what is now missing is an attitude of surrender. Instead of coming to church to be entertained or to be made to feel comfortable or to have worship your way, we're supposed to come before God and surrender. And then during the week, as the man or the woman of God, the pastor, whoever bringing the word, is in one-on-one time with God, God will give them the message. The worship leader, during his or her one-on-one time with God, is supposed to be getting the songs that support the word of God for that week, so that there is a flow from start to finish, where opening worship flows, where the offering flows, where the people's hearts have been prepared to receive the word of God, and it all has a cohesiveness because we're being led by the Spirit, because we have surrendered our agenda, and we're there to hear from the Lord. And when you do it that way, that is when the Spirit of God can begin to lead us to create an atmosphere whereby God's presence can come in, and we can fellowship, and he can fellowship with his people, and we can then hear what he has to say. When we get back in the order of us understanding that we follow him, he doesn't follow us.
Does that mean, Prophet, that the worship leader and the pastor should be working together in preparing for the worship services?
Absolutely, because in the Old Testament, David organized the temple. They were all Levites. Those, what we call the clergy, those that deal with the spoken or the written word of God, come from the same tribe as those that sing the word of God or play the worship music with the instruments. And they have to be on one accord. They have to be in sync by the Spirit, because unity is a function of the Holy Spirit. It is not a function of man. So that means that both must be surrendered to what God wants to do. His agenda is the key.
Well, you know, Prophet, what I see, I'm hearing you. I'm going to put you on the spot with this one. Then I see, what was this, the Worship Arts Training Center you're starting in the Chicagoland, that when you start this Worship Arts Training Center, that you're going to be bringing together pastors and worship leaders. This is not just going to be for worshipers, but you're going to bring pastors together and worshipers so you can get them on the same page, and you're going to be doing some training in that area?
Absolutely. Another thing that is heavily missing in today's worship is the knowledge of the many dimensions of worship.
Yes.
There's one thing, bringing God's presence in the room. There's another level found in 2 Chronicles when you get to the glory cloud. That means you have become on one accord and so surrendered to the worship of God, where you've all become one to sing and praise and exalt the goodness of his name. You're no longer thinking about yourself, how you look, what key the song is in, whether or not I like the style, but everybody's focused on him. And then the Lord's glory becomes thick. It becomes tangible. You can feel it. And in that kind of environment, people can just walk in and be healed.
Yes,
in that kind of environment, sinners can walk in and just be convicted, and they'll come falling down to the front asking, what must I do to be saved? In that kind of environment, we can literally reach up and grab what we need, because God's glory is there. The Lord has manifested heaven on earth. And we can begin to grab what we need out of that. But that only comes with surrendered one accord worship. It's found in 2 Chronicles. You have to all be pointed in the same direction. And so the Lord has to deal with you with matters of, for example, unforgiveness. If you have some type of problem with your neighbor and people forgive, this includes your spouse. If you're just arguing in the church parking lot before you came in, you need to get that right before you go into worship, because the Lord's not interested in receiving your offering if you're at odds with your spouse.
That's what he said. He said that in Matthew. But listen, Prophet, let's come back to this. Now, what happened to this small church that did not have a worship leader per se. They come in on Sunday. I went over there at church. We have it on Saturday evening. So okay. They come in and they want to open up so the Spirit of the Lord can come in. And so, of course, I always make a joke. Dean said, I'm cheap. I don't have a worship team. I use Dean Mitchum and Derek Coon on CD, but they bring it in. They open up the atmosphere. But what happens? I can see this. I can sense what you're doing with this Worship House Training Center. And I can, because it means that any church can come in and go through the training.
That's right.
Where you get the pastor and the worship leaders together. What do you bring the worship team with them, or just the worship leader and the pastor?
What I do is I have separate sessions.
Okay.
Excuse me. I have separate sessions based on what we're teaching.
Okay.
I have some sessions that are just for the pastor, so the pastor can get the overview of how the worship is supposed to go, and then depending on if he goes by the church calendar, or if the Spirit of God is giving a fresh word every week, or when he or she is or is not preaching, so that whatever word the Lord wants to deliver for the next 3 to 12 months can be known in advance, like now. If you go before the Lord now for pastor, you ask the Lord, all right, Lord, for 2016, which direction are you going? What do you want me to bring to you?
Right.
And the Lord will show you now the arc of his word for the year. When you do that, then the next session I have is you bring in the worship leader and they pray the exact same thing, but they have to do it separately, because when you come together, then you'll get a witness from the Holy Ghost when you go on the same page.
You know, I'm going to put you on the spot.
Okay.
I love to put you on the spot because you can't, I'm older than you, so you can't hit me. But this is what I'm thinking. Even our sanctuary of the firstborn, you know, we open up different training and teaching there. And I, as a team leader for the Midwest, Christian International Midwest network of pastors and teachers and ministers, I wonder what could you do to help some of my smaller churches who don't have worship teams, as you said. Some do, some don't. Some maybe have 4 people. Some may have the pastor's wife opening up worship. And then we have some who have lots of people on the worship team. What happens if we invite you to come to the sanctuary of the firstborn and we have this type of training? How do you foresee that?
Well, again, my goal is always to get us to the cohesive flow of the service, because when you get in the flow of God, the worship, the offering, and the preached word will always be missing. There will be no conflict, and that's the flow of the Holy Ghost that God wants to create in every service, no matter what you sign, because the Lord has something specific he's trying to say to that body. And every one of those elements, the offering, the worship, and the song, and the words that you're saying over and over and over again, and the preached word have to be what the Lord wants to say.
I hear that.
For advanced churches, and what I mean by advanced is the churches that have grown to the point, there's also other elements you're supposed to have every week. For example, a healing mind. Because the Bible is clear, both in the Old and New Testament, when even unbelievers come around the saints of God, that we can lay hands on them, we can pray for them, and we can anoint them and all. They're supposed to get healed. That's what the Lord did. The Lord spent a lot of time healing people that weren't even strong believers or were even in his camp. Because the Lord teaches us that healing, we're supposed to know that the faith that is ours. There's not supposed to be any wicked, weak and sickly among us anyway. There's not supposed to be any premature death, because he promised in Deuteronomy that the number of our days he will fulfill. There's not supposed to be any closed wombs. The women are supposed to be lying in the hands of their children. So the healing of God is supposed to be a regular part.
But I want to tell you something, because we've been dealing with this in some of our meetings, and especially with our special group that are praying for healing. Pastors that have been called to have family churches, and they meet every Monday morning at 5 o'clock without fail from around the country, praying that into existence. And we just turn our attention to healing, because people don't even come to the church expecting healing. And if they did come, they will never tell you that they need to be healed. And so we hear very few messages. And that's not an accusation. It's just a fact of the way it is. We want to change that. 2 years ago, for 2 years, we had a healing meeting for to bring it back on the scene, I only had Pastor Baker, who was a powerful friend of mine and one of my pastors in Milwaukee. And so he would teach these powerful messages on healing. And then at the end, he would have a healing line. And he would have come and he would ask the people, what do we want to pray for you? And I stood with him. And do you know the people did not ask for healing? They asked for something else. I want prayer for my brother. I want to see whether God wants me for this job. So I think the church has been somewhat conditioned somewhere along the line that Jesus Christ is not there to heal them. And so, all right, you're saying something, but when you say that, that means that the Lord has to bring it, he's ready to bring it back.
That's right.
I believe maybe you better start this at your worship arts training center when you bring these pastors together and you lead them into this powerful flow of worship, that it will be manifested that the Lord will come back. So you want to come to the center of the firstborn and do the first one there so you can bring some of the pastors in and some of the worship leaders in, and hopefully the Lord will have some of mine to come and we'll just see that we'll release something back into earth for the church. Remember, my program is always hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. Listen to what he's saying to you. I'm thinking that there are many people that would like to come to the church and ask for healing, but they don't know how they'll be received. You know, they don't know whether or not the person will pray. And one thing I'll tell you, you know this about me, if I need prayer, don't you pray the same prayer you prayed with Gene yesterday. You know, I want you to be in the Spirit. You know, I think our ministers got to get to the point where we're ready for healing.
Well, for example, where I start with that, and yes, I'd be happy to do that, where I start with that is Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and here it is. Forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, the very next sentence is, and healeth all thy diseases. Now, a quick lesson on sin, transgression, and iniquity.
I just finished writing it this afternoon in my book I'm putting out. And I don't want to go finish, but I know you're on target because in our family intercession book, we just sent our first person, which is my classic one, out of print for years. That's for the printer today. And I'm starting sending this the next week on spiritual journaling for families in desperate situations that I clearly explain those three because we missed that. If we think of the iniquities in the wrong way and the sin in the wrong way, we miss it. So that's why you're going to teach all of that when you start to
Go up. That sin is missing the mark. Transgression is knowing where the line is and crossing the mark. But iniquity is when you cross the line on purpose and then you try to act like you're doing anything wrong. Okay, when God says, I forgive you even for that. I forgive you even for knowing that you did something wrong and then trying to act like you did it if you acknowledge it. Because the thing that separates people in their mind is guilt.
And
guilt
that's
is the problem.
Iniquity brings that.
Right.
Because it comes up through family bloodline. And it's that bit toward, it's in the family line, it's in the bloodline. And it's a bit toward doing that. And once you do it, it becomes sin.
But once you understand that the new covenant of Jesus Christ in his blood forgives you, and that was under the old covenant. The new covenant of Jesus has forgiven you once and for all time for all sin, transgression, and iniquity. And according to Romans 8, 1 and 2, it's all freed us from guilt and condemnation.
You know, wait, stop right there, Prophet. You know, you said something today that goes around there, so go back and explain this. That because you and I did this today. Remember, there's a decision that everything's in the past is gone.
Yes.
And I think that's what holds us in that place where we're afraid to ask for healing because we still got this guilt and this condemnation. And if that's not it, it's always looking back at what we haven't done or what we did do wrong, you know. And somewhere we got to get over ourselves, don't you think?
Yes. Well, it's understanding from the scripture. That's the reason Jesus only had to die once. But there's his sacrifice covered once and for all sin, past, present, and future. That means things you haven't even done yet. Maybe the things you haven't even thought about yet, things the Lord has revealed to you, you're already forgiven. When you understand that, then you can move into claiming your healing. But it's that guilt that makes people feel like I have to deserve to be healed. And no, you don't.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
That's what most
because
people
Jesus already took the condemnation for your wrong. And all you have to do is come and claim it by faith.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, back to Psalm 103, people accept the salvation, and then they say, if it's God's will to heal me. Now, where we got that from, I do not know, because every place where Jesus encountered any type of mental illness, demonic possession, physical malady, even those that had existed in some cases for decades, the woman bent over to the synagogue, the man by the pool, 38 years, the Bible says clearly that he healed them all. Not one in Jesus' life do we hear him say, for the glory of God, you got to stay sick. Not once do we hear the Lord say, well, you did something so bad until I'm just not going to hear you. That's not in the Bible.
Well, you know, something I'm really looking at, and I've talked about this with my own people, because, you know, the best health care system is Jesus Christ.
Yes, that's right.
And the health care system we're under now, it is such an expense.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a, I think there's so many things wrong there in the natural that God wants us to not necessarily to throw it out because he gave people, you know, the ability to do certain things. But at the same time, he wants us to remember he died for our health.
That's right.
He died for sick. And, you know, we could go on. I think we're about out of time. I said I was going to open the mics, and we just have a couple of listeners, and if you're out there listening tonight, I just opened the mic, and if you want to bring greetings to our prophet or you want to ask him a question, he's on the line. Anybody out there want to ask our prophet David a question? And, you know, sometimes I do that out there, so I open the mic, and I always say that they must think that I'm not going to let them come on because I never do. But you have so many words tonight that covered so much of what the spirit was saying, what I've said on this broadcast, and things that I want people to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church and for the church that the Lord has brought you on so that you can give them the word of truth. So let's look at what you said tonight. Talk about the word of the Lord for the church and bringing us together to bring nations in, you know. I like that word because it said that regardless of what I think of myself or what people think of me, I'm part of this pattern that God put together to put it all together as one. And I think the word also is saying to our listeners, you need to examine to see how do you fit in this. Do you have a word, a part of this pattern that God established for the nations in. I heard you say that the Lord is speaking to America. What is he saying to America?
That his children must come together and recognize the different giftings that he has put in every ethnic group, every kindred, every people, and every tongue, and that we are no longer to be divided among demographic lines, the way we're used to thinking, or denominational lines, but rather we are begin to function as a body where each one of our giftings sees another part of our body. For example, if one group has a revelation on tongues, and another group has a revelation on sexual purity before marriage, another group has a revelation on healing, another group has a revelation on worship. Instead of breaking up into our own little spots and corners, we're supposed to come together and share the little gift, maybe expose that teaching to people who didn't grow up that way. Some people grow up and they know how to praise the Lord, but they don't know how to pick a spouse. Some people have grown up and they're so used to praising God one way, they've never spoken in tongues. Maybe they're scared of it. Some people have grown up with...
I've been taught against it.
But they're taught against it. Like some people, many, many people that are not trained to the prophetic, many times don't know what to do with it.
All right.
They want to hear from the Lord, but the question is, how do I know that this is God, and how do I protect myself from being taken advantage of?
You know, Prophet, have you noticed something, that the Lord always starts preparing years in advance for something that's coming out?
Yes.
What you're saying tonight, I believe he started with the charismatic movement. I was in the charismatic movement. I'm a Baptist girl. I'm telling that I'm a good old Baptist girl. But the Lord saved me, and I was part. When I got saved in the charismatic movement, I learned so much. I learned good and bad, but I learned so much. But what it did do, it broke barriers down between denominations and teachings. Because when we all came together, and many people have never believed in the Holy Ghost before, never spoke in tongues, you didn't know what was happening. But when they came together, the Spirit of the Lord moved in such a way that they knew it was God. And it began to bring forth, you know, his life. And then, of course, from the charismatic, then the charismatic at that time kind of looked down at the Pentecostals because they called them legalists.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But God wanted me to see that he was in all of them. So I moved into ministry with people who were legalists, they call them, but they were good people. They were saved people, you know. And then there are others who believe in the name of baptism in the name of Jesus only. If not, you're not saved. And of course, the Lord say he's in that too, because if you ever be as part of that, you know, very few people go down in water, get baptized, and come up speaking in tongues, and they never spoke in tongues. And it happens in that church.
Right.
Know.
Well, having a revelation on water baptism and understanding what that means, but the scripture also says that the Lord personally said, I will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. So it's not this strange thing to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 5:18 says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And 19 goes on to say, speaking in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. There is no qualification. He doesn't say that men are supposed to do that, or pastors are supposed to do that, or kids are supposed to do that. That is the instruction to the Christian, to the believer. So it is not this big leap to be filled with the Holy Ghost. But you have people that have been grown, that have been raised to think it's strange or it's crazy, or they don't want to
that
the difference.
That is not for today. That's
right.
What I was taught. It's not for today. That was for the apostles.
Which is not in the Bible.
And I still got people who say there is no such thing as apostles today.
Right.
I still got people, because of the way the sanctuary is going to be in the house and people come, I get the difference of, you know, opinions about what it is. But when it's wonderful if we can go back to the Bible and we can believe the Bible. And we can believe the words of the Bible, and we can walk in the words of the Bible, and we can obey the words of the Bible. I think you'd have church without spot or wrinkle, don't you?
I do. Well, again, our biggest problem is that we have fallen in love with our own agendas. And we have believed, we have moved over to what I call genie concept, where you rub the magic moment, you rub God the right way. You just wave his mighty hand and solve all your problems.
So we're coming this night and telling people, here's what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. For that day of yesterday where there was division, the Lord is saying it's time for the walls to come down.
Unity, that's right.
And unity. And then you said something today that was so powerful. We need to start seeking the Lord's face.
Yes.
Not just seeking him for his hand.
Yes.
I told you the story when I met you at the door of how my little great grandson had seen his grandfather's kitchen. They pointed, that's your grandfather. Yeah, that's your grandfather. And he was this little kid and he loved his grandfather. And then he went to visit his grandfather. He came back and he was so excited. I saw grandpa's face. That's what you need to feel about Jesus. I need to see his face because his face is. Well, let me see my face. You see, I see myself in him. And as we come together and we seek the Lord for his face, I believe in the Lord will let us see ourselves. Why don't you pray for us and close us out, Pastor Prophet? We thank you so much for your word tonight. We thank you for the scriptures that you have released for us. And we thank you that you took some of the time off of my scratchy throat.
Well,
so that
pleasure. Thank you for having me.
People will hear the word of the Lord from a man of God. Love what you say about worship. I have a hunger for worship, although I can't sing, but I can worship God. There's a way, and worship is a key. My greatest book, I would talk about one of my books, is my book of Zion, the new sound of Zion, which when people read it, they think it's going to tell them how to bring a new sound. And it brings worship on a level that they've never seen before. But it's one chapter in there that they would rather not read. God is saying he wants to come down with a new sound. He wants to come down with a new dance. He wants to come down with every form of worship being brand new. He said, but what's going to open the heaven for him is that intercessory repentance is going to go up, that you intercede to find out what you need to repent of. And you start repenting of yourself. Then you start repenting for the church. Then you start repenting for the world. And your whole life will be a life of repentance, everything you do. So that opens the heaven then for him to come down. So the new sound of Zion is the sound of the Lord coming down. Not the sound of, you know, different music. The sound will open the way, yes. But it's going to take, and the reason we say intercession, you alluded to it, when you go into intercession to find out what is this hidden sin that you have that you're about, what have you done that God may not want in his worship to you? You go into intercession just like you're interceding for someone, but you're interceding for yourself. And when you do that, he'll take you back into your life, and he'll begin to open doors for you, and you begin to repent, and you begin to travail to open the way for him to remove that. And as you do that, then all sins will shift away from you. And then he will begin to come down then, because you've opened the way for him to come down. You've opened the way for him to come down and fix you. For him to fix whatever he wants to. And as you and I talk today about this new move of God with the worship center and all of that, and the new training, we're going to have to, and getting people to see the nations or call the nations in, we're going to have to go into that type of intercession where we begin to intercede for ourselves first, to move everything out of the way. Because intercession and prevailing is like when a woman is giving birth, everything moves aside so that that baby can come, and it's painful.
Great.
But when you press on until that baby comes out, you see, that means we open the way for Jesus to come in. And when he comes in, then it's not a work for us to do. It's a work for him to do. And I believe the reason that we have you tonight and the reason you spent this day, hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. It's a great word. We want to listen to what he's saying to them. And so not only did you say that, but you kind of say that you have the end, you have something to help them. You want to do this training for them. If you can get pastors and worship leaders to come, you know, we'll establish that. And we have a whole flow, so much so, until the Spirit of the Lord will come and make himself strong. And when that happens, then it will be released in the earth. And those people can go back and open the way for him to flow for them. So you need to bring the word what the Lord wants. You brought a word to say this is the way to, it is, can be done. And you set yourself up and say you're willing to help people get there.
Yes, I am.
And I set myself up and said, well, the church, they thank you for the firstborn. But the local church, the firstborn needs might be the place where we just pass the leaders in there. And so if anybody interested in listening tonight, you might want to tell them how to contact your prophet.
Contact me through my website, www.prophetdavidtaylor.org. www.prophetdavidtaylor.org. And you could email me at prophetdavidtaylor@gmail.com. And I've always got the latest word of the Lord on my website and on my YouTube channel. And then if you want to contact me directly, just send me to that email address. And that's
I'm going to ask them to contact you if they're interested in our putting together this workshop, this worship for pastors and worship leaders to come together. And if they contact you or they can contact the Sanctuary of the Firstborn, 662-473-7472, or phewint@yahoo.com. And if you're interested, we'll put it together and we'll set a date. And you don't have to have a large number, do we, Prophet?
No.
Consider.
I'm still with 6 and 6. We can go with 12, 6 pastors, 6 worship leaders. And then we can, if there's more, we can go on multiples of that. But start with half a dozen of each, and we can go from there.
All right. We're going to work on that. We'll ask the Lord to give us a response. And if we get a response, I'm open, then we'll set a date once we get it in. So, Father, we're going to close tonight. Father, we just want to thank you so much for bringing us together across the miles. I say to you, there will be some people that will go into the archives and pull this up, and they will listen to it, maybe not tonight, maybe in their own leisure. But we thank you so much for hearing so much what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church, and listening for what he's saying to you. We know that we're in a holiday season, so most of my listeners are probably getting ready for the great celebration. So we don't have nearly as many listeners tonight, but I know many of you will be talking about this message for some time to come, and others will pick it up, and we will then start a new move of God in the earth, and that is a move to bring us back to let nations know that God died not just for one nation, that he died for nations. And not only that he died for nations, but that within us we carry part of the key for God to bring the nations in by nation. So we thank you tonight. We bless you in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, our Lord, our Master, our Savior, and our King, who is able to make all grace abound toward us, that we can have all sufficiency for all things in all good word. We say good night.
Good night.